Tales from the field, some things we've seen. Well, we thought we'd share a couple of experiences from the field. Folks, just because somebody has a license does not mean they're competent.
Welcome to the Handyman Pros Radio Show, home improvement and maintenance tips from the pros.
Thanks for listening to another edition of the Handyman Pros Radio Show, where our goal is to help save you time, money, and aggravation on your home maintenance and repair. This edition's entitled Tales from the Field, Some Things We've Seen. To help me explain, I have the man of the hour, Mr. Johnny. Are you there, Mr. Johnny?
Hello. Hello, Mom. Mom, is this on?
Is this working?
Is this working? Yep, here we are, man. And what a week it has been.
Oh, we've got some stories, folks. These are good ones. They really like.
You
can't make this stuff up. It's like literally, you cannot make this stuff up, right?
You know what surprises me? Let me get a summation here, real quick. Is that I'm surprised that there's no more catastrophic accidents than there are.
There's logic in that statement, and catastrophic destruction to people's stuff. You know, one of those I'm thinking about, we're going to talk about.
The thing
up under the floor.
So, well, not only that, I'll describe something in a second here, but I'm just amazed. Okay. I'm just amazed. And now I'm probably not apprised of the amount of catastrophic issues that happen out there. You know, you hear about them on the news and things like that.
Right.
But I've seen some stuff that it just blows my mind.
Ditto.
It's indescribable how unsafe this is. And we're talking loss of life, unsafe.
Potentially. Yes.
So,
some are not that way, but
I saw one, I'm telling you that it was bad. It's bad. Now I've seen a couple of them, you know, and it has to deal with electrical.
Right.
And electricity, folks, is nothing you want to play around with. You might be in bed at night and you might have a flood in your basement. Yeah, that's not, you know, it's awful and everything, but you work around it.
Right.
You're in your bed at night and something lights up in the basement and you're engulfed in flames, right?
Right.
Potentially. So, you know, you got to be really careful of these things. So, I'll say this, you know, I'll start up, you know, I've seen issues where when they first install, and it happened to me here, where they built the house, they installed all the electrical switches and things with just what's known as the backstabbers. That they're just, you know,
pushing connections on the back
instead
of
putting them around screws and tightening them down. Okay.
Right.
And what happens is, you know, you put that kind of connection in a little kid's room and they start to pull on, you know, pull their whatever out of the wall at some age, you know, by the cord, and this thing starts to move. Well, now you're putting all this pressure on those electrical switches that might not be installed very tightly into the wall. And those wires start to move in and out of the back. And I've seen them where they were just not even touching in the back.
So wait a minute. I have a question. You mean you're not supposed to pull your appliances and your stuff out by the cord?
That's what I'm saying. And the kids, but the kids don't, some of the kids don't know this, right? So they're pulling.
Some of the adults don't know this.
Yeah.
What do you think? I mean,
your vacuum, you know, you're yanking it out on the wall and going upstairs with the vacuum. I've seen that and I'm thinking all that would happen is that other, you know, just another, wire, whether it be the live wire or a ground wire, you know, this thing starts to spring loose and it starts to wobble around, you know, and starts to spark and arc and stuff. And, you know, who knows what's going on. I just ran across one of these, and I fixed the problem. It took me a little while to find, you know, what the issue was, but, you know, if you're thinking about how this gets, some of these things get daisy chained across the room and things like that, then you can kind of go back and start to troubleshoot this. And I cringe when I see that stuff. I always put it onto the screws.
So it's done for a reason though. Let's just explain. When an electrician is building a house, largely he's there to do what? Go home.
And that's the thing, there's a lot of, go in and get out. Get the job done.
And
it's easy to do, right? I mean, you strip the required amount of insulation off, and there's a little gauge on each one of these switches, right? And that tells you how much, and then you just jam the wire in there, and this thing's supposed to cinch the wire. Many times it might not fail, but a lot of times if you don't put the wire in all the way or something, you don't put enough, take enough insulation off of it or whatever, they don't grab. And then you get all this problem over the years. Cause as we talk about all the time, your house moves, there's all kinds of vibrations. There's all kinds of, who knows? And you just don't want to take, I don't want to take that chance.
Well, here's the potential problem with it, right? Johnny, when the people contacted you about this issue, what was the symptom?
Well, the symptom was that the box, that the light wasn't working off that.
So you had one that was completely disconnected. One most of the time when I get this situation or the vast majority of times for me, not that I know everything because I don't, but it's that they're getting either like a flickering in the lights or they're getting a basically, for lack of a better word, an intermittent contact. Right. Yep. You can just tell that's the symptom.
Or it won't carry a load.
Yeah, or it doesn't carry a load. That's the other one. And folks, when we say carrying a load, what we're talking about is it'll run a lamp, but it won't run your vacuum cleaner, the outlet. It'll run a lamp, but it won't run your vacuum cleaner. And so that's because those two items require a hair dryer
whatever that might be. So
And it usually occurs in, to your point, at outlets that are used a lot, because the hairdryer is the one that I just thought about it. I've done several of those in the bathroom. And that's because in the bathroom, you plug that thing in, you plug it and unplug it a lot, you know? And so it tends to, it gets just a bit of motion on it and they get loose. And it's not a bad technology. It's just not a great technology. If you go back to older homes, like in the 50s and stuff, every single one of them is wrapped around a screw, every single, because that was code at the time. And they since changed it. And now these push-in connectors, and for the most part, they're pretty reliable, but in your high usage areas, and, or if you have a lot of vibration in your house, then they can work out, and it becomes a fire hazard.
Yeah. So sometimes, if you're going to do a pigtail or, putting one wire to another, you can buy the Waco little things and they work the same way. You push them in, clip them down. Okay, great. But you're not putting pressure on those a lot, and that's why they use, compression, like a little bit of a compression screw going into a junction box. Right. So, the wires and
the
whole thing, we explained that before. But I just see that, and I see a bare wire popping out the back, and it might be, it's like, and typically it's with a whole nother pack of wires that are right around it.
Yeah.
So I'll get on with the stories here. And I'll tell you that the other thing I saw, I went in, they had the homeowner says, "Hey man, I got a light that's falling off the wall." I said, "Okay, well, let me take a look." And it's a sconce. And they had the electrician come in and put the sconce in the middle of the room against the wall where there was no stud there. So he had to open up the wall. He put a horizontal stud, piece of 2x4 across to each vertical stud. He mounted the J box, the junction box on that. Okay. Well, they wanted the sconce to be vertical up and down instead of sideways. But the way the retainer ring was, is it had the two pins, the two screws that go into the J box itself. It's a metal J box, so that was correct. But it was then turned vertical. It had to be turned vertical to mount this sconce because of the way the retaining ring was behind it, and they had to screw the sconce onto that. Okay.
Right.
So one goes into the J box and then the thing goes onto that ring. Okay. Well, I come to look at this thing, and all he did, he didn't even mount that ring with any anchors or into the stud, and just push those two, what are they, like number eight screw, machine screws into the wallboard.
Oh, nice.
He wired it up and just put it on there.
And lo and behold, what happened?
Yeah.
Fell off the wall.
Folks, it's falling off the wall. Yep. It's hanging like at a 45 degree. All the wires are out. It's in the kids' playroom. Okay.
Nice.
Yeah, even better. So I'm like, okay. So now I'm like, make sure the switch is turned off because it was on a switch. Let's take a look at it. I'm pulling it out, and the freaking wire nuts fell off.
Oh. So it
they
wasn't,
weren't even it, properly. They weren't even properly. At some point, we'll explain this, and you can look it up in the meantime, folks. But there's a way of using putting a stranded wire with a wire nut against a solid wire. Okay,
right.
There's a way of doing that.
Right.
And these things just fell off, and I was here I go again. I'm like, holy crap! All that needed to do was fall off and touch the other wire.
Yep.
In that J box, and that would have been, you know, catastrophic.
And just to give you perspective, you think it won't happen, but it does, right? It does. And you'll get a little smoke. It's not that bad. Don't worry about it. Just let the smoke out of it. It'll be better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They put a lot of smoke in at the factory.
They do. They do.
So.
Our friends in the RC world are chuckling right now because we always refer to it when we're flying electric planes and they crash. We call, let the smoke out.
Yep,
it basically is never. It's never a good thing.
It doesn't take a whole lot to light up an old dried 2x4 stud.
No, it does not.
So let's just put that one on the table. Anyways, I fixed it right. I got it back. You know the whole thing, but once again, those two incidents. That's kind of scary. Okay. That's kind of scary. And you were not that far away from,
a potential disaster.
Yeah.
It's an electrocution, concern
well,
as well.
You got the kids in there. They're only, the kids are ranged from 5 to 10 years old or whatever, who knows?
Who knows?
And it's right there. It's within reach.
Within reach. Yeah, that's the problem. It's within reach. And so it only takes a second to brush against it and somebody gets gets the shock of their life. And it's not fun. Been there, done that. I've experienced that personally. I don't want to ever do it again. I'll tell you that much. Man, woo, it was rough. All right, let's move on to some plumbing stuff. John, you had a great plumbing.
So this was in the same week. I don't know what the hell was going on, but in the same week, I get a call and said, hey, can you come over? I got some electrical problems. Okay. So they had some electrical problems. I go into the basement and I'm looking over some other stuff. And she says, hey, we had a leak in here, plumbing leak. And I said, okay, well, what was it? And she goes, well, at first they couldn't find it, called the plumber and all this. And then finally she said, oh yeah, he found it. It was an intermittent leak. And I said, well, where was it? She points into the ceiling and I look up there. I'm like, holy crap. There's there's the supply line for the toilet bowl, the toilet fill tank, right? The toilet tank, that the copper supply line had been terminated underneath the floor. And somebody had put a connector on that and ran the pipe up through the floor to the toilet tank.
So
you follow me? I hate to lose you, any folks, but the whole shut off was below the floor.
Was below the floor level. And in a code situation or in a what is common sense to me, the shutoff valve should be above the floor so that if you have a leak in your toilet, you basically reach down next to the toilet and turn the valve off, folks, if you think about it, most of your toilets in the world, there's a little valve that either comes out of the wall or out of the floor, just depending on how it was plumbed, but it's got a valve on it. It's either got a gate valve or a quarter turn valve, right? So you can turn the water off to your toilet in the bathroom.
I'd never seen anything like it. All it did was take a little bit more just to run the whole pipe up through the floor and then do it the right way. I don't understand what they did here. And it was like, wow, talk about cutting some type of corner for whatever reason. And so I said,
my question, so is the plumber pad code pass code, because that's not code.
So I said, I asked, you know, what was the first question is, well, the plumber found it. I said, so what did he say? Nothing. He just tightened it up. You know, it was loose. Tightens it up. The leak stops. And I said, that was it.
$400, right? Or whatever.
But I'm like, that was it. He didn't say, you know, hey, you really need to like redo this and put this in properly. She said, no. He didn't say anything, and he just left. Yeah, charging left. And then I said, my neighbor, and I said, let me show you. You know, I look over and I see the master shutoff valve is right down, you know, right on the other wall. And I said, hey, let me show you this because you might need it. She goes, well, what's that? I said, the plumber didn't tell you what that was because it's like 2-3 feet away. I said, well, that's your master shutoff, you know, in case anything happens. We talk about this all the time, right, folks? You need to know where that is. So in case you have a catastrophic leak or you got any leak, the first thing you do is turn it off.
Or you go on vacation,
vacation, turn it off. Otherwise, sometimes, you know, your washing machine hose pops.
Correct.
So, you know, I was a little surprised by that. Okay. So, folks, if you know, any of you handymen out there, you know, just show your customers where things like this are, just to...
Just so they know.
It's just a courtesy of just so they know and educate them.
Yeah, don't assume anybody knows anything. Yeah, don't assume anybody knows anything.
Exactly.
You know, they don't know. Most people have no idea. Can you tell me where your water shutoff is? No, I don't know where that is. You know,
I mean, I was a little surprised. Okay. It would only have taken another 2 seconds to say, hey, you know what? And here's how you work it. Boop, boop, boop. Okay. Yeah. You're done. Okay.
Right.
So I have seen interesting things over the last week.
So I've got one, Johnny.
Yes, you do.
So,
you know, talk about some time bomb stuff here, you know?
Yeah. This one is like watching a slow train wreck just waiting to happen. This happens to be in my neighborhood, and this is fine. But we live basically on the side of a hill, and we have in our neighborhood, there's a lot of people that have driveways that are quite steep. And when I say steep, you know, 40 to 50 degree angles, that's pretty steep. Effectively, when you dig in the hill, you need to put up silt fence or you need to have water remediation because it will wash away. I've had it happen at my house. So I can actually effectively discuss that and say it's really true. But one of my neighbors is an interesting guy. But anyway, be that as it may, he's building a new driveway. And so I'm talking to the contractor. And I said, well, you're building a new driveway. When are you going to pour the concrete? He goes, oh, no, we're not doing concrete. I said, really? What are you doing? He goes, oh, we're going to pour gravel in here. Now, folks, this is like the first thing is he's done some basic grading excavation on it. And to give you perspective, our bedrock is about 30 inches underground. Like literally it's a sheet of granite that's underneath our hill, long story, but it's a part of the Stone Mountain Shield. If you're in Georgia, you understand what that is, but it's a granite base and it's only about 30 inches under the ground. And in this, there's little outcroppings and things. So one of the first things I noticed is he has this stone coming out of the ground that is pretty big. I mean, it's a pretty good sized stone. And I'm like, well, you know, I didn't say anything to the contractor, but I'm like, gosh, you know, if it's me, I need to get that thing out of there if I can get it out of there. And when I say that, if it's a part of the shield, it's not coming out. But directly across the street, when they built that house, they had a big loader in there and they were popping these big rocks out left and right, you know. And so I thought, oh, well, that needs to be out. But anyway, he's pouring a gravel driveway on a 45 degree angle. So that's the first part of it. The second thing is I noticed that he's clipped the water line in his grading efforts, right? And I'm like, you know, like, okay, I mean, it happens. You're digging,
yeah, yeah,
you know,
it happens.
But it's like, okay. So he goes and repairs the water line. Right. And it happened to be 1-inch PVC water line, which is neither here nor, well, it is, I'll explain this later, but he goes to reinstall the 1-inch PVC water line. And where does he run the water line? Well, Johnny, you tell the story, because I told you, where's the water line go?
It was, I think what I heard was that it was going underneath the,
right under the drive, where the
right
driveway
under the driveway.
Be. Yeah, right under where the driveway is going to be.
So he's got, so it's even worse now that I know that it's all gravel with that stuff underneath there, because there's still, that's going to settle in like.
It literally is like watching a train moving towards a wall at a high speed. It's just, you just know where this is going to go. The first time, so he's been, this project has been going on for weeks at this point, and I'm kind of like, hey, what's taking so long? But one of the things that's happened is we had a real gully washer a couple of days ago, you know, a really strong yeah. rainstorm. Johnny, the mud stream ran right down to the base of his house and left a beautiful mud pit all the way down his house and into his carport. And all I thought to myself is, oh, pour gravel on top of it. Now you'll have stone all the way down there. Because, folks, let me tell you what. There's no way this gravel driveway is going to hold in a big rainstorm. It's not going to hold.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole thing. You know, it all can be, you know, for the first couple of days, that's all compacted real nice and everything. But, you know, after a while, your car is going to start kicking it up. It's going to be rolling around. It's going to be washing everywhere.
Oh, it gets even better. I didn't realize this. Let me finish this one, Johnny. So I realized the other day, where the driveway goes, coming up the driveway, it's right in front of a window.
Yeah.
So yeah. To your point, when he spins the tires and catches the gravel right through his window.
I mean, that's also a thing. But, you know, folks, you know, if I've seen this happen right at my neighbor's, they didn't dig through anything. What they did is just, you know, roll a heavy piece of equipment across the front yard.
Yeah. Yep.
And it you know, broke the water pipe.
Oh, I tell, like, in my rental,
you know,
side,
and this is what happens. Is this what Larry's talking about? I mean, after a while, you keep doing this kind of stuff, and it's going to start pulling, you know, pushing down in that pipe and pulling it. You know, you're going to pop that thing.
It's the same thing as the electrical we were just talking about. Yeah, that those little thing. Slight movements, you know, over and over and over again, and it's just through time, it's just going to break. And the funny thing with this is, probably it's going to break sooner, because if he pours gravel over the top of that, there's no cushion in gravel, right, folks?
Right.
If you think about it, there's no cushion. Now, I don't know. I think he's going to put dirt. Actually, he has put a layer of dirt over the top of it, but it's still going to, there's going to be a lot of motion in there. I'm just like, well, you know, not my place to say anything,
because
I don't get into other people, try not to get into other people's business, you know, but I just marvel at it. And I started thinking about it, and I'm like, why, I don't even understand why you would think about it on this particular grade, because it's every driveway all up and down the street, which they all are basically the same thing. They're all concrete. Nobody's even done asphalt on this steep angle. So it's like they're concrete for a reason, because you need it to be concrete. One of my customers actually lives down the street, and before I go down his driveway with my truck, I actually get out with a blower and blow the leaves off, because his driveway is so steep. If the leaves are on there, it starts me down that hill, and it just makes me nervous, if that makes sense. That's how steep it is. I mean, it's that steep, and I have to make sure I'm turned around, pointed uphill to get out of that driveway, because I'm always afraid my truck actually won't be able to pull out of that driveway. His driveway is probably almost 60 degrees. It's really steep. But anyway, this is just because the whole point of this conversation is, just because somebody is a contractor and they're a professional, does it really mean they know what they're doing? And in these cases, we don't really know. We don't have the thing. Like in this driveway case, the contractor might be being told by the homeowner, just do it that way. That's what I want. And John, you and I have been in those situations where the homeowner is insistent on it being done a particular way. And you just kind of say, we don't recommend this. And you have a choice as a contractor. Do you walk away or do you not, you know? And just depending on a safety issue, I would have walked away.
It's your business.
Yeah.
It's your
livelihood.
It's like, you can't do it. Sorry.
Technically,
dude.
It's your responsibility.
Sorry,
you know?
Dude. Can't do it.
Yeah. So. Can't do it. Won't do it that way. But yeah. So, but just from the homeowner side, folks, you know, understand that these things happen, and understand that just because somebody's a professional, you know, they have to be good. Like hanging a sconce on the wall, just driving it into the drywall, that's never going to work. Never.
Yeah. I think the moral here is, you know, it's always about continue to educate yourself on these things, whether it's, you know, whether it's plumbing or electrical, just chew the elephant a little bit at a time, right? I mean, just look at these things and just start to get, educated on this, and then take a look around your house.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, yep. Just take a look, and all of a sudden you're going to see how things are built, you know, how it's constructed, how it's been engineered to be put together, and you're going to start to understand it. And then you're going to say, wait a minute, one of these things doesn't look like the rest of them.
Right.
Okay.
Very
and it doesn't
so.
Make sense.
Yep.
And that's when the light bulb goes off, and then you start to catch these things. Okay.
Yep.
So
we're not asking you to become experts in the building trades or anything
like that.
But
that's why you listen to, you know, a show like this, right? So that you get, you know, aware of the awareness of these things, and you start to figure out how to educate yourself.
Yeah.
And then work on these things.
Yep.
But that's the kind of moral I was looking at. It was like, wow, I mean, this is really dangerous stuff, and oof. Gotta be careful, folks.
Gotta be careful.
If you're not comfortable with working with some of this stuff, leave it to somebody else. You know, not the guy who put the sconce in, by the way.
And not the guy who put the water shut off valve under the floor.
I know who he is.
Oy.
So.
Yeah. So same thing. All right, folks. Well, Johnny, the spaceship's landed. Do we look at it or do we take it apart? That always is the question.
Can't get it back together. Took it apart, can't get it back together.
You didn't take pictures it apart?
Tried to go down to AutoZone, couldn't get the parts.
It's out of production now, isn't it?
It's out of production. Oh, or it's not even in production yet.
Oh, well.
At least here.
Hey, never a dull moment here at the Handyman Pros Radio Show. That's all I have to say. All right, questions, comments, or concerns, send us an email, questions@handymanprosradioshow.com. Facebook, we are at Handyman Pros. What else do we have, Johnny? We got any other ways to get a hold of us? Smoke signals work for me. That's always
yep,
good.
YouTube.
Yep. We're out there on YouTube a lot.
Our Facebook page.
Yeah. Good. All
Please
is good.
Sign up for it. Send us an email with questions. You know, and this is another thing. You know, if you guys want to send us an email on things that you've seen or post something, you know, I know we post a bunch of stuff on our Facebook page. I should be taking more pictures of some of the things I just saw, and I should have posted them out there. I know we do some stock pictures that are kind of funny that we run across every once in a while.
Yep.
But I'm starting to run across enough of it of my own now to get a library of things going here. So
never a dull moment. All right. With that, folks, we'll see you next week on the Handyman Pros Radio Show.